You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Friday, December 22nd. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I'm recording this at like 3 p.m. on Friday, so I apologize for the late pod. It's going to be a little short today, you know, it being Christmas and, you know, me having plans. So I'm going to do quick previews of the games tonight and tomorrow against the Lakers and the Nuggets, respectively. Should be two good games. The Lakers are playing fairly well despite their losing record. The Nuggets are playing fairly well despite their winning, and it reflects in their winning record. In the second segment, we're going to take a trip down the Reddit hole and see what's going on in NBA Reddit. And in the third segment, I'm going to go through a history of the NBA and Christmas, because the NBA has owned Christmas for a long time as far as the sports leagues, the popular sports leagues are concerned, and they've been connected in a way that's been very special to me. Growing up as a child, I always looked forward to Christmas because of basketball. And then when the Warriors started getting basketball games on Christmas again in the early 2010s, it became a tradition for me and my friend to either watch the game from home together or to go to the game. So Christmas is big for the NBA, and I want to get into that history a little bit. You can find my media on Forbes.com. I have a few pieces coming out next week. I will let you know about those as they are released. Got a lot of writing to do this weekend and next week, so should be a good freshening of my portfolio for all you readers out there. Make sure you go to LockedOnWarriors.com and bookmark that page. Go to Facebook, Locked On Warriors, Locked On NBA Net. Make sure you like those pages, subscribe to those podcasts. You can get this podcast on iOS or Android and any other places that podcasts are available. And make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA as well. David Locke does a fantastic job scouring the NBA for all the latest. All right, let's get into these two games over the weekend, the last two games before Christmas. I've spent a ton of time talking about the Lakers recently with Kobe Bryant's retirement and us playing the Lakers on Monday. And so I'm not going to spend too much time on the Lakers. We know what we're going to get with them, a pretty good defensive team, an offense that is sometimes awesome, sometimes disjointed, and a young team that is sometimes able to execute down the stretch and sometimes can be influenced into bad shots, and as we saw on Monday, but they did beat the Houston Rockets on Wednesday, so thanks for that. The Rockets are now one game in the loss column ahead of the Warriors, and so if the Warriors continue their win streak, they should be able to catch the Rockets potentially even before they face the Rockets on January 6th in Houston. Draymond Green is going to be back tonight, so that is a huge boon for both the offense and the defense. We're talking about 7 assists, 9 rebounds, and defense that just can't be quantified. But the Warriors' defense has been absolutely fantastic during Draymond's absence, for the most part. Some lapses, but Draymond should be able to be the glue that ties it all together. No Steph. Zha is questionable. So is Sean Livingston. Andre Iguodala with flu-like symptoms is probable. That's going to be huge. And that's the injury report for the Warriors today. Let's get into this game tomorrow against the Nuggets. Haven't seen the Nuggets since November 4th. That was a big win, 127-108 at Denver. And they're currently fifth in the Western Conference. There's a big drop-off between the top four teams in the West and 5 through 15. They're 16-15 right now, so they're clinging to that winning record. They're a pretty good offensive team coached by Mike Malone, seventh in offensive rating and ninth in points per game. And defensively, they're not incredibly good. Their defensive rating is exactly the same as their offensive rating at 109.8. That's not very good defense-wise. It's good for 22nd in the league, and that means their net rating is zero. So it should be a pretty good test for the Warriors ahead of Cleveland, but nothing to be too worried about. They have some injuries. Paul Millsap, of course, has been out for the last month. He had surgery to fix a torn ligament in his left wrist, and he's going to be out for the next 2 months. That's a huge piece for this team, and they're still managing to win a lot of games without him, but Paul Millsap is probably the most important player on this team, and he will be out tomorrow night. Gary Harris, who can fill up with buckets, he missed the previous game due to a right elbow contusion. They're playing tonight, Friday, against the Trailblazers, and it's unclear if he'll play tonight, but if he does play tonight, we can expect him to play tomorrow. Emmanuel Mudiay has been held out the last two games with a right ankle sprain, and it's unclear if he will play tonight against the Blazers. Once again, if he plays tonight, we can possibly expect him to play tomorrow, though it could be a situation where they want to keep both Harris and Mudiay out of back-to-backs and make sure that they're healthy going into the new year. The Nuggets can still be formidable, though. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is a threat from everywhere. He can shoot the three, he can play inside, he can pass. He's a threat for a triple-double a lot of nights. And it's good that Draymond is going to be back because he's going to need to shut Jokic down if the Warriors are going to be able to play their game and keep the Nuggets from getting into a rhythm. Wilson Chandler, noted Warrior killer, noted vampire. He's going to be a handful, as will Will Barton, who is another noted Warrior killer. They love playing against the Warriors. They are fearless, and they show it on the court. Richard Jefferson doesn't get a lot of minutes for this team, but I always love playing Richard Jefferson because he's such a dick. And every time we beat whatever team he's on, whether it's the Cavs or whatever, it's awesome because he used to play for the Warriors and I just never really understood where his animosity for the Warriors came from. Maybe it was them jettisoning him after 2014 and he didn't end up getting a ring with the Warriors. But yeah, love playing that guy because he's an asshole. So two pretty solid games before the Christmas present that is the Cleveland Cavaliers at home on Monday. The Warriors have a good chance of pushing their winning streak to 12 and extending their chances of catching the Houston Rockets for the number one seed, the very good Houston Rockets, before the new year. So that's very exciting. Three very good games before my next pod. I won't be recording a pod for Christmas, obviously. So I will, in my third segment, preview the Cavaliers in addition to going into a history of Christmas. All right, it's time to go down the Reddit hole. And we'll start with the Warriors. Redditor Morzingis said, just in case you forgot how frightening Golden State is, they're leading the league in blocks, assists, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, free throw percentage, and points per game. They're doing this with four of their starters missing almost 20% of their games this season, and five Warriors are shooting a better three-point field goal percentage than Stephen Curry. That is a beautiful array of stats right there, and you can make the arguments that even though they don't have the best record, the Warriors are the best team in the league. Still, I would make that argument. And I may just make that argument before they play the Rockets next month. I'll also add that they're second by a very, very slim margin in offensive rating and third in defensive rating, and their net rating leads the league at plus 12.5. The Warriors are still monsters. Redditor Reverend Games notes that the Nike CEO has confirmed signature shoes for Westbrook and Giannis for 2018. How exciting. Westbrook already has a line with Jordan, and I have a pair of those lifestyle shoes, the Westbrook 0.2s. They're very comfortable, but he doesn't have his own signature shoe for the most part. He's been wearing whatever Air Jordan last year, the 31. This year, I think the 32s has been on sale, and he's been marketing those, but he deserves his own signature shoe. He's an MVP, and obviously Adenagumpo is just the next big thing, so he's certainly deserving of his own signature shoe. So this information comes from Nike's quarter two earnings call. CEO Mark Parker offered some insight into what we can expect moving forward. Two new basketball signature athletes, but not only that, the Kyrie 4 will be coming out. The PG 2, Paul George 2, will be coming out, introducing an all-new Flyknit construction for Kobe's next performance design. And obviously, Jordan Brand will launch its first signature shoe with reigning MVP Russell Westbrook. Adenokunpo re-signed with Nike for a long-term extension in November. And apparently, the Kyrie 3 is said to be the industry's bestseller right now. So Nike's doing pretty good in a fairly dry-ish sneaker market right now. The sales in 2017 were down across the board. LeBron's new Flyknit 15s are looking very hot right now, and I've seen them in person. But LeBron represents the high end. LeBron and the Jordans represent the high end of what Nike has to offer. And the affordable Kyries, PGs, are making inroads with people who want to buy shoes for themselves, for their kids, and they don't want to shell out $200. The same thing with the Curry 4. The price point of the Curry 4 went down from the Curry 3 this year, and that was a big boon to sales. Obviously, the Curry 4 is a better shoe than the Curry 3, in my humble opinion, but also just cheaper. And that's important, especially around Christmas time. Getting the shoes to sell is more important than having a legacy price point and making sure that their inventory doesn't get backlogged as Under Armour experienced last year, Anta experienced last year with the Klay Thompson, which is an affordable shoe, the KT2. The KT3 is way cooler than the KT2, in my opinion, and definitely worth a look as well. Redditor Maddie G5 notes that John Wall surprised all of his teammates with Rolex watches. That's available on Wall's Instagram, and it's a pretty great video. I wish I played basketball so I could get free gifts from rich people. One team and one guy I haven't talked about a lot on this podcast this year is the Raptors and DeMar DeRozan. Redditor Whatcha Doin' Foo notes that DeMar DeRozan has surpassed Clint Capella and Kyrie Irving on Basketball Reference's MVP tracker. Love Basketball Reference. If you like stats and if you like tracking stats, make sure you go to Basketball Reference every single day. DeRozan is now sixth on the MVP tracker. Clint Capella makes the list at seventh. He's had an incredibly good year all across the board. James Harden, though, is leading that MVP tracker right now. His team is 25-5. LeBron is second, followed by Stephen Curry, Giannis, Kevin Durant, and then DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is having a very good year. The Raptors are 22-8, and he started all 30 games, playing 34 minutes a game, shooting 17.5 times and nearly 50% from the field. His three-point percentage, he's taking 2.7 three-pointers a game, which is more than you'd think. And his three-point percentage is 0.321. But once you get him over on the short side, the 22-foot three-pointer, he's money. And he's shooting 52.6% from inside the arc right now. He's 808 from the line. Total rebounds, 4.4, 5 assists, 1.2 steals, and only turning the ball over 2.5 times. For a high usage guy, that's not that many. And he's averaging 25 points a game. So DeMar DeRozan is a guy to watch because he is really putting the team on his back right now. Kyle Lowry is also making the list because of how good his team is, but his stats are down across the board. So he's only shooting 43% from the field, though he is shooting 40% from three. 16 points to go along with 7 assists and 6 rebounds. He's filling up the stat sheet. 1.1 steals and 2.1 turnovers. So that assist-to-turnover ratio is really... 2.6 turnovers. But that assist-to-turnover ratio is really excellent. And so he's there. And then Anthony Davis rounds out the top 10. Kyrie Irving is 8th. And finally, Redditor Medspace notes that per Zach Lowe, the Rockets' Daryl Morey is going to go after LeBron James in the offseason. Sam Amick of USA Today started the James to Houston discussion on December 9th. He believes that the Rockets have a strong belief they have a realistic chance to sign him away from the Cavs. Lowe noted, new Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta previously stated he would pay into the luxury tax to keep his team as a top contender for a championship. I personally don't see LeBron leaving the Eastern Conference. It would, I think, hurt his legacy to, not hurt his legacy, but if he misses the finals, going to the Western Conference and losing to the Warriors or whomever in the Western Conference finals, that would end his streak of finals appearances. Obviously, he has to make the finals this year to continue the streak, but I just don't see him. I don't see him leaving the Eastern Conference. He takes the finals wherever he goes in the Eastern Conference, and you know, that's a tough one. But putting LeBron on a team with Chris Paul and James Harden, are you kidding me? That is a recipe for the Warriors to watch out. Definitely. So, a lot of time between now and then. I don't really seeing him in a Rockets uniform would be really weird, but anything can happen. All right, let's get into NBA Christmas Day and the history of Christmas Day games. The first NBA game played on December 25th came in 1947 in the league's second year when the New York Knicks beat the Providence Steamrollers at the old Garden, the old Madison Square Garden, 89-75. Since then, the NBA has played games on Christmas every year except 1998. That was a lockout season. This makes the NBA the only league to regularly schedule games on December 25th. This year, however, the NFL is playing games on Christmas because it is a Monday. In the early days, regional proximity dictated most of the matchups. I'm getting this from Wikipedia, by the way, and its sources. They would usually play their geographical rivals to cut down on holiday travel and allow them to have more time with their families. But that gradually changed as the NBA became more popular. Teams were more likely to travel across the country. But winning teams and teams that won the championship became accustomed to getting home games on Christmas Day. Dr. Jack Ramsey, who coached the Trailblazers from 1976 to 1986, became the all-time winningest coach on Christmas with 11 victories, an achievement that Phil Jackson later matched in 2008. He said, and this is Ramsey, Christmas meant being home with the family and having a game we always won. That was a perfect Christmas to me. In the early 1980s, the Knicks put on a show 3 years in a row. We know about Bernard King scoring 60 points on Christmas, the most ever scored by a player on Christmas Day. And these games were starting to be on television. So the excitement really influenced the NBA to schedule games over the holiday that showcased the best teams and players. The Knicks have played more Christmas Day games than any other team, with 51 total. They're 22-29 on Christmas Day. Their most recent appearance came in 2016 when they were defeated by the Celtics. They will be playing on Christmas Day against the Philadelphia 76ers. Some people have participated on Christmas as both a player and a coach. Doc Rivers, Phil Jackson. Doc Rivers played for the Knicks in 1992, coached the Boston Celtics, and played on Christmas Day in 2008 through 2013. Phil Jackson was also a part of the Knicks and coached on Christmas Day every year from 1990 until 2011, with the exception of 95 and 2004. He won his 1,000th game on Christmas Day in 2008. Kobe Bryant has the most Christmas Day games played of any player with 16. He's played on Christmas more often than any other date on the calendar, playing his first in 1996 and his last in 2015. Obviously, the Lakers were not good in 2015, but the Lakers get a lot of Christmas Day games because the Lakers are Showtime. You know, it is what it is. And the Lakers, of course, will be playing the nightcap against the Timberwolves on Monday. A recent tradition and a boon to the NBA's coffers and Adidas coffers and now the Nike coffers is special uniforms and shoes. I love the tradition even though it's been hit and miss. Redditor Jesse Makes actually created digital renderings of ugly sweater jerseys for all the teams playing on Christmas Day this year. I encourage you to check those out. They're on Sports Illustrated. They are awesome, and the NBA should absolutely follow suit next year. It's unclear what uniforms the NBA teams who are playing on Christmas will be wearing this year. Nike has chosen to keep those under the radar. So the Warriors are playing the Cavaliers on Christmas Day. That's something we do know. The Cavs' offensive rating is third, and their defensive rating is 27th. Without Stephen Curry, that defensive rating will feel a little bit more pronounced. Obviously, LeBron is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and he's going to be directing the defense. They're going to be playing better than a 27th-ranked defense. Right now, the Cavs are 24-9, third in the Eastern Conference behind the Raptors and the Celtics. And they're dealing with some injuries. Isaiah Thomas is still recovering from that labral tear in his right hip, but he's expected to make his season debut in the first week of January. He suited up for the Cavaliers' last game and sat on the bench in his warmups. J.R. Smith sat out the previous game with soreness in his left knee, and it's unclear whether he'll suit up for Christmas. Iman Shumpert had arthroscopic surgery in his left knee and surgery to repair a torn meniscus. He's out for the foreseeable future, the next 6 to 8 weeks. And Derrick Rose is dealing with a sprained left ankle and a bone spur. He doesn't have a timetable for return. So obviously the Cavaliers are hurting, the Warriors are hurting, but it should still be a really good game. You can expect Kevin Love to come out firing. His three-point percentage has been absolutely fire. Channing Frye, Jay Crowder, they still have good players along with LeBron, Jose Calderon, Jeff Green, Kyle Korver. Dwayne Wade has been playing out of his mind and is in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. So the Warriors have a lot to prepare for. I'm really looking forward to this three-game slate before my next pod on Tuesday, December 26th. I hope you are too. That's my podcast for today. Make sure that you go to LockedOnWarriors.com, bookmark that page, go to Facebook, like Locked On Warriors and Locked On NBA Net and whichever other teams that you're interested in. You can get in touch with me via Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or via email at AlicoCarter11@gmail.com. Happy holidays and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.